As Simon says, we wanted to do something slightly different this morning, out of the ordinary, and that is we wanted to take a little bit of time to do a prophetic review of some of the things that we feel that God has been saying to us recently as a church. And a good question for you and I to get into the habit of asking is this: what is God saying to you, and what are you going to do about it? That's a really good question for every single person to ask. What is God saying to you? What are you doing about it? And that is both true on an individual level, but also as a church family. God's called us to, yes, be led by a team of elders, but actually ultimately to be directed by God himself. He is the one who sets the course. He's the rudder on the ship. He's the one who gives us our sense of direction and instruction and purpose. And, you know, there's not always time on a Sunday morning to give room to all of the prophetic stuff that comes our way. There's just not time. You know, probably 100 of us could share things this morning that we felt God saying to us, but there just simply isn't time. And so every now and again, we want to leave space just to share some of the big themes that God is speaking to us. And as a leadership team, about once a term, we go away and pray as a team. And usually in that time, what we'll do is sit down with usually about 25 to 30 pages worth of prophetic words that have come in the last 3 months, and pray through them, talk through them, and ask ourselves, what do we need to do about this? What is God saying, and how does this affect our decision-making and the way that we pray and set our course? And, of course, Scripture itself is very clear about the importance of the prophetic. Here's just two verses. 1 Thessalonians 5 says this: do not quench the Spirit. Don't treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all. Hold on to what is good and reject every kind of evil. The thought there is, actually, if we just kind of hear stuff and then forget what's said, but don't actually test it and weigh it and say, how substantial is this word? We're actually treating prophecy with contempt. Actually, we should say, okay, God, if this is you, how does this affect us? And also, Paul says to his friend Timothy, he said, Timothy, my son, I'm giving you this instruction with keeping with the prophecies once made about you, so that by recalling them, you may fight the battle well, holding on to faith and a good conscience. One of the aims of God speaking is that you and I might fight our battle well. And actually, if we don't have a handle on what God's saying to us in particular seasons, really we're ill-equipped to fight the battle well. It's important for us to know, what is God saying? Where are we going together so that we can fight the battle well? So myself and my friends PK and Laura, we're just going to share a few things that God has been saying to us, but also try and collate some things that have been coming from many, many other people as well. And I'm going to just kick off with the first one, which is this. God is calling us to be a resource church for the nation and the nations. Okay, if you believe something that we say, you can feel free to say amen at any point. Amen. A jolly men. God is calling us to be a resource church for the nation. And I can't tell you how many times this has come through as a recurring theme in the prophetic. One good friend of mine, Matt Cook, in this church, he had this, he felt God draw his attention particularly to Bedford Railway Station, which is perhaps not the most exciting place in the world. But he said, the thing about Bedford Railway Station is it has this amazing sense of scale in that it's something that's very local to our town, and yet you can be in Paris within a few hours. And it's amazing that even in this town, there's this potential of kind of local impacts, and yet impacts far further abroad. And he said, God is actually giving us as a church a strategy for scale, where we can both impact our town significantly, but also we can resource others, other nations and peoples and congregations around the world. God is calling us to be a resource church. It's neither one or the other, it's both. It's both, isn't it? We're called to impact Bedford, but also the world. And God has been speaking about this theme over and over again. Often we talk about being an apostolic resource church for the nations. Apostolic is simply a word that means sent ones, ones who are sent. And again, the picture there is whatever God gives us, we are called to give away. So ask yourself this question: what has God given you to give away? What has God given you? That's what it means to be apostolic, actually. It doesn't, you don't need to have a special badge saying apostle to be apostolic. What it means is, what has God given you, and are you giving it away? Because what Jesus says, actually, as you're faithful in the little that God gives you more. As you're a faithful steward in the little, God gives you more so that you can give away more. And the picture here is us of a church being a resource house for many people beyond ourselves. And actually, every decision we take to, we're just going to give away freely what God has given us. God is going to pour more back into our own church and our own town. An apostolic church. So it means many things. It means we're committed to sending and serving the nations of the world. You know, it's been a privilege recently to send people like Zoe Joy to Zambia. Amazing. And Joy Summers to sub-Saharan Africa. And the Parkinson's to Zimbabwe. And think of the Peacocks and just many, many others who have gone to the nations representing our church. I tell you, get used to that, because that will happen more and more and more. Sending people to bless the nations. But being a resource church also means that the nations will come to us. Many nations have been coming into us. Just think of Sweden and France and New Zealand and South Africa. And just wave at me if you're from another nation in this church. Okay, just keep your hand up. Keep waving. Everyone else, just have a little look around. That's amazing. God is calling us to be a resource church for the nations, that we can serve them. And of course, it's no accident that Bedford is one of the most diverse ethnic towns in the whole country. And one of the ways that we're going to connect and reach the nations is by reaching our own town. You know, I think of my kids, they go to a school called Bidnam, or I think there's something in the region of 25 to 50 different nationalities represented. Isn't that incredible? And yet that is representative of our town. And yet it's not yet representative of our church. But God is calling us increasingly to be an ethnically diverse church where many cultures begin to reflect the culture of heaven, where Jesus is the King. And, you know, it was funny coming into the women's conference yesterday, because as a man with a beard, I felt a little out of place. And, you know, just slightly like, gosh, I was just aware how different I was from everyone else in the room. But the truth is, if you're not white middle class, sometimes walking into a church like this, you can feel like that. You can feel like, gosh, I am different than most people in this room. And I just want to say, if you've taken that step and you've come and you've been part of this family, thank you so much. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. And one of the reasons that God has sent you here is to help change us. It's one of the reasons you're here, is to help change us and actually help us to serve the nations well, even in our own town. And, you know, as we get bigger as a resource church, one of the amazing things is we're going to be able to serve more poor people than ever before. We're going to be able to serve education more than ever before. We're going to be able to serve local government more than we ever have done before. We are called to be a resource church here and beyond. And God has given us a scale for mission. Second thing, you guys still with me? Yeah. Is the Three Peaks Challenge. The Three Peaks Challenge. And I felt a little while ago, God speaks to me saying, I'm giving you the Three Peaks Challenge to run as a church. And the Three Peaks Challenge is a race that's run in this country where people run in a weekend the three tallest mountains in Wales, Scotland, and England. And they do it in a weekend. How they do that, I have no idea. But that's what they do. And I felt God saying, I'm giving you three peaks as a church that I want you to climb in this season. And it was a sense in which there was an invitation that this was a moment. There was an atmospheric condition that was right for us to climb these three peaks. And God spoke about those three peaks, that they were, firstly, it was about this building. And it was about completing this building well. And I can't tell you what a blessing this building is. I mean, I just think of things like King's Playhouse, for example. Just wave at me if you go to King's Playhouse. They're all sitting over there, mostly. King's Playhouse is an incredible initiative in this church that meets in this building every Wednesday. And chatting to Charlotte Dobson the other week, she says they are regularly getting 50 mums and 50 kids every single week into this building on a Wednesday. Isn't that amazing? And most of those people coming don't yet know Jesus. Most of them don't know Jesus. They're not particularly connected to the church in any way, other than they come on a Wednesday and they drink coffee in our amazing coffee shop and they hang out together, and yet they experience something of the favor of God. Let me tell you, that wouldn't be possible without this building. And one of the peaks for us to finish is to finish this thing so that we can do that more than ever before, and that many initiatives like that can begin to serve our community. Second peak God spoke about was 1,000 people. God is calling us to be a church of at least 1,000 people. And at last count, I'm reliably informed by Mr. Royden Lovely that we are a wider community of around 850 people right now. And that includes kids, dogs, cats, gerbils, everything that you can count. That's about 650 adults. About 64% of those are in small groups in the church. And God has been growing us significantly. And one of the challenges for us is, what does it mean to be a church of 1,000 people? And that's one of the things on our radar. And then the third peak was this. God is calling us to reach people in the 1040 window. It's the third peak. 1040 window is often referred to really as mostly the Islamic world. So nations that are close to the gospel. Nations that don't really have Jesus represented. And one of the challenges for us is, I believe God's going to connect our heart to how we reach the Islamic world in a new way. And before I came here, I was part of a church in Newcastle where we baptized around 40 Iranians in a period of 3 to 4 years, all of whom had been converted to Christ, mostly miraculously. For example, one guy was on a bus in Newcastle. Jesus himself walked onto the bus, pointed at him and said, "Follow me." And so he did. And I tell you, God is moving in the Muslim world. And there's some part of that picture that God has got something for us to play in. We've got some part to play in that. And that's one of our three peaks challenge. Laura, I'm going to hand over to you next. Let's welcome Laura.
Good morning, guys. I just want to start by saying that, do you know that you are the bride of Christ? Do you know that you were made to be beautiful and glorious and this incredible, incredible family of God? And God really, really loves our family. And I feel like everything I say in the next couple of minutes or so, I just want you to know how much God loves our family. And how for us he is, and how much he wants us to be everything we can possibly be. And like any good father, sometimes God comes along and he gives a gentle, "be careful" word. And I feel like I have a slight "be careful" word this morning, which can be hard to bring. But I really want you to hear the Father's heart, which is not one of condemnation, but one of just "be careful," because I want you to be this glorious bride. I want you to be this incredible, incredible family that changes the world. So his word, basically, he showed me a dry plant. And he just kind of said, "I just want you to be careful that as a family, you don't become a dry church." And he's inviting us this morning to two things. One, to soak in him, and one, to gaze at him. So we're to soak in him and in his spirit, but we're also to gaze at him. And just like a dry plant becomes brown and withered because it lacks water and it lacks sunlight, we as a church and as a family need two things. We need the Spirit of God, which is like the water, and we need to gaze on God's beauty and his glory, which is the light. And it's interesting what Simon was praying. He was saying, "Fill us with the light." And that's what God's calling us into in this season. So number one, he's calling us into a season of soaking. And what God means by that is not short moments of stepping into a little bit of time with him, 5 minutes here, 5 minutes there. Not that he despises that. He loves even a minute when we choose to spend with him. But extended periods of us just hanging out with him, worshipping him, loving him, receiving from him. Just like if you've ever had a dry plant in your house and you need to pop it in a bath of water. Matt Peacock's nodding vigorously. He's a gardener, so he knows. And you have to put the plant in your bath or in your sink and give it a really good glug of water, and you might need to add some more water, but the only way that plant will revive if it's totally saturated in the water. And God's calling us into a season of being saturated in his presence and his Holy Spirit. He's calling us to drink deep of the waters that Jesus invites us to. He says that he's the water of life, and we're to drink deeply from him. And we do this by worshipping him. We do it by all of our lives are worship to him. But there are times when we're to draw aside and to spend time singing to him, dancing, painting, going for walks, whatever your worship is to him, but where you carve out time out of the normal life and you just spend time soaking in him. And the second thing that he's inviting us to is to gaze at him. So like a healthy plant needs sunlight, and if you ever watch the slowed down motion pictures when people have captured what a flower does, then the flower head turns towards the light of the sun. And David in the Psalms says that he asked one thing of the Lord, and one of those things was to gaze at the beauty of God. And that's what God's inviting us to do. Just like a healthy plant needs sunshine to grow, we're to gaze at the beauty and the glory of God. Revelation says that there'll be no sun because Jesus himself will be our sun. That's how glorious he is. That's how full of light he is, and goodness and love and mercy. And he has everything we need to live the radical life that he's called us to. And just like a healthy plant needs light to grow, to be that church of 1,000, to do all the things in this world that we're called to do, we need to gaze on his beauty and look at his glory. And 2 Corinthians 3 says, "And we all who with unveiled faces reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory." And listen to this bit. Where does this come from? How do we become reflections of God in all his glory? It comes from the Lord. He's the Spirit. So we're to soak in the Spirit. We're to gaze at his beauty in order to really reflect who God is to a world that's dark and without him. And if you think of a mirror, the only way that a mirror can reflect an image is if that mirror is in front of the image it's trying to reflect. So the only way we can reflect God is if we posture ourselves and position ourselves in front of God. And we say, "God, I exalt you above everything else in my life. I make you my number one, my priority. I pour out all my love, my money, my time, everything. And I choose to look at you." And as we look at him, this amazing thing happens. We get transformed into his likeness. And we become, earlier in that passage in Corinthians, it says that we become the letter that other people read. And we, not like Moses where his radiance fades, we get to be radiant and displaying the glory of God to everyone around us. So just to finish, God is calling us to a season of soaking in him and gazing at him.
Fantastic. So good. Let's welcome up Mr. Paul Kellett.
Thank you. Okay, so I'm going to share something of a picture that I got back last March. As a group of prophets, we met together one evening and just prayed and asked God for words, things that he wanted to talk to us about as a church. And I got a picture of a sheet, and it was a sheet that was being pulled out and kind of, you know, stretched as far as it would go. It's to the point where it began to look a bit like a trampoline, and people were jumping up and down on it. I could see from the picture that there were various people placed around this sheet, pulling it tight, but they were quite random in where they'd put themselves. And as I said, I could see that there were already people beginning to jump up and down on this sheet, but they weren't really getting any height. They weren't getting to the places that they really wanted to get to. And I sensed God was saying some of this about that picture. I felt firstly that the sheet needed additional people around it in order to pull it tight, to get it, to get the tension right in the sheet in order for people to jump. Really was aware that people had literally just gone up to the sheet randomly and just grabbed a bit. And there hadn't been any kind of strategicness about where they thought they should be and where they should be around the sheet. There were places where there were really big gaps. And then there were other places where like four or five of us had just grabbed the same area. And it just meant that it was all a bit lopsided and it just wasn't really getting the tension right. I also sensed that God was talking about the need for, in that, of everyone taking their part and everyone coming up and pulling the sheet and really being a part of getting the tension right. I sensed, too, that he was going to bring very specific people to the sheet. And so I'm really glad that Phil said, you know, if you've joined the church over a little while, I'm really excited you're here as well, because I sensed that God was going to bring people with very specific giftings, even some who, when they took hold of the sheet, didn't really know what the gifting was. But as they got in there and they played their part, their gifting was going to sort of start to come. And also he was going to call people with very specific spiritual authority in very specific areas. That they would come and they would help us pull the sheet as tight as possible. About 2 or 3 weeks ago, God took me back to this picture. And he took me back to it because he started to talk to me about capacity. And I noticed that in the hands of all the people holding the sheet, there was a lot more scrunched up fabric. And as I saw the word capacity fall on the sheet, suddenly in all of our hands, we jumped back about several feet and all the fabric that was in our hands started to be released. And what happened was that obviously the sheet just got bigger and bigger and bigger. And it kind of meant that, you know, the more fabric you've got, you know, then actually when you get it really tight and you pull it really tight, the higher that people can jump. And I really saw as we pulled back, as the sheet got to a bigger place of capacity, more people started climbing up on it. And I really felt that there's something there about all of us getting onto this sheet in some sense, all of us jumping, and really it being about God releasing us to our full height and our full stature as who we are individually as men and women of God and sons and daughters, but also in order that we can reach the full capacity of what God has called us to, so that we can reach the full height and get to the full height of what our callings are. So that was the first thing I'm going to share. The second one, if you want to change the image, is... Okay, don't change the image, that's fine. I was going to say the image that is coming up of a butterfly and a dinosaur will make sense in a moment. But I really felt God wanted to talk, or was talking to us about birthing new initiatives. Over a period of about 6 weeks, I felt God talk to me about how he wanted to birth 200 new initiatives of social action and outreach within the King's Arms over the next 10 to 15 years. So that's 200 new things over the next 10 to 15 years. And there's a real sense of impact that God wants to do this in order to flood the ward in which we're in. There's a lot of social need in the ward that we're in, but also within Bedford as a town, but then also in Bedfordshire, in England, in, you know, and actually, you know, across the globe. God wants to impact very practically this nation and the world with what his love looks like in a practical sense. Our roots as a church are very much in social action, and I feel that God has lots more for us to do when it comes to social action rather than literally just the stuff we're doing at the moment. I sense God is talking about different levels of influence taking place through these 200 initiatives. Some of them will last as long as a butterfly. A butterfly's life isn't very long. It's something that has amazing impact of beauty, but it doesn't last very long. Some of us are going to birth out projects that are just there for one day or one, you know, one afternoon or 1 week or one season, and then they fade. But what they were called to do has been established. And then some of them are going to be like dinosaurs. I felt very much that 25 out of the 200 initiatives are going to be as large as the homeless project that we currently have, if not larger. And they're going to be projects that actually last throughout history in the same way as a dinosaur's footprint lasts for, you know, throughout history. It's made such an impact, and that some of the initiatives, 25, will be like that. And then, again, in the last couple of weeks, God's taken me back to this picture and started talking to me about birthing. And I felt like that some of these initiatives are long overdue. I feel like even as I stand here and talk about it, some of you kind of go, oh, I know what my butterfly is. Oh, I know what my dinosaur footprint is. You know, there's stuff that in us has been there for ages. It's just like, I really want to do something, but I don't, and I know what it is, but I practically don't know how to do it. Now is the season to actually start voicing that out, and God will place around you the people that will make it happen. I feel like things like the healing rooms, you know, King's Playhouse, Brick, the amazing stuff that Pete's doing, you know, with getting alongside people with long-term illnesses. These are just the forerunners of stuff that we're called to do. They are just the forerunners of the rest of us who've got projects that we're supposed to birth out. And it's all about them being vessels to influence the seven mountains of influence. It's all as very well kind of saying, yes, let's influence them. But actually, if we say yes, then God will start to talk to you about how you're going to influence them. And I really sense God, as I say, is already birthing ideas and passions and callings in people. I really feel like some of you have got a calling to work with the elderly. Some of you have got a heart for Bedford Prison, once people are in the prison, but also when people are leaving the prison. I feel like some of you want to get involved in doing stuff with with kids in the summer and in half term. Some of you want to do art events. Some of you want to hold honoring banquets, whatever those are, they make sense to you. These are just some of the things that God is kind of impregnating us and wanting us to do. And I saw some of a picture of some of these kind of like, they're literally babies. These dreams and these things are like babies. And as they're born, I saw some of them instantly become toddlers, instantly find their legs and just start walking. And I also saw some of them instantly become teenagers. And I feel like God is saying that as we birth some of these out, some of us are going to be very surprised at the quickness of their growth and the quickness of their maturing, and actually the quickness in which they suddenly come bigger than we even thought they were going to be as we give birth to them.
Fantastic. All right. As usual, there's lots more that we could share, but you're going to have to wait till next time. Because I just want to pray. I want to take a moment right now to pray and respond. Isn't it exciting what God's saying to us? Man alive, what incredible purpose God has for us. And I just want to start right where PK left off there. If you know that God has called you to birth a new initiative, if there's something that you know God has put in your heart, maybe you don't yet know what it is, but you have a heart, you have a desire, you know, I want to do something. I want to make a difference in some area of my town, my family, or where I work, where I live. I'd just like you to stand right where you are, because we're going to pray and commission you right now. And Jesus' name. I don't know how many people are standing. It's not quite 200, but it's a good start. Look at that. Well, guys, I want us to pray. Olivia, I don't know if it's possible to come and just play some keyboards for us. That'd be really helpful. Thank you. Guys, if you're around these, I'd like you just to get around them and pray for them, okay? If you're near someone who's standing, I'd like you to go and put a hand on their shoulder. And we want to commission you in Jesus' name in this season to bring forth new kingdom initiatives in all sorts of different areas, whether it's in your school, whether it's in education, whether it's fighting for social justice and family life, whether it's speaking up on behalf of the oppressed, whether it's in the arts and media, whether it's in creativity, whether it's with children and young people, whatever area it is, Father, I want to pray in Jesus' name that this would be a season of commissioning from you to fly in the things that you've called us to do in life. Holy Spirit, I pray, let your favor rest on this church community. Lord, I pray for an era of pioneering. Lord, I thank you. This was always a pioneering church. And I pray for another era of pioneering. I pray for another era of pioneering for social justice. Pray for another era of pioneering, Lord, in family life and healing divides and divisions. Father, I pray for another era of pioneering with the gospel in hard-to-reach communities. Lord, I pray pioneering amongst children in education. Lord, I pray, Lord, for children who are forgotten by the system, who are on the margins. Lord, I pray pioneering amongst the hardest to reach in Jesus' name. Father, I pray pioneering with creativity in songwriting, in arts, in dance, in poetry, in script writing. Lord, we just commission creative artists to fly in what God's called them to do. Holy Spirit, I pray for businessmen and women. Lord, let them be released with fresh favor. Lord, I pray that many very successful ethical businesses will get started in this season. King Jesus, I pray for kingdom strategy for businesses of all sorts. I pray bless those who are working in government and politics. Bless those, Father, who are working for change at a structural level. Father, I pray give strategic, prophetic, powerful wisdom in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, come on us, we pray. Come on us, we pray. Let this be an era of transformation and change in our culture. Jesus, I pray for those who are called to reach other subcultures, who are called to go to the nations. Let the favor of God rest upon you right now in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray for teenagers in this church who are called to rock this nation. God, I pray, come on teenagers right now, right across this room. God says, do not despise your youth. Do not despise your youth, but go in the strength that you have. Go and make a difference where I've placed you. Spirit of God, come, I pray in Jesus' mighty name. Bring a birthing in this church. Bring a birthing in this church. Father, I pray for all those involved in King's Playhouse. God, let your favor rest on that initiative. Let your favor rest on Ground Floor Coffee Shop. Let your favor rest on everything that's coming out of this church in Jesus' name. Thank you, Spirit of God.
Thank you, Father. I just feel like the Lord would say, what I order, I pay for. And the biggest objection most of us have is, where's the money going to come from? And we just pray right now for faith, for finance, Lord. We've seen what you've done even in the offering we had recently. We pray for a fresh faith to do this with a spirit of generosity. Not a spirit of uptightness, but to trust you that when we know that you have spoken and we have confirmed in our hearts and others have confirmed, yes, God has spoken, that we will trust you for finance. We pray for that, God, right across the church, Father, for faith, for finance, for every one of these endeavors and every one of these adventures be resourced by you. What you order, you pay for. Thank you, God.
Thank you, Father. Just keep receiving from God. Darren Turney, the Spirit of God is on you right now. God is birthing something new. God is bringing to the forefront of your heart and minds things that he birthed in you a long time ago at a dream level. God, this is a time for dreams to come about, for dreams to come true. And I just want to prophesy you an era of dreaming fresh dreams. It's an era where the disappointments of the past are going to give birth to the hope of the future. God says he's birthing hope in you. God says you're going to be an ambassador of hope wherever you go, an ambassador of hope. And God's even going to call you to establish kingdom businesses whose express purpose is to release hope to the hopeless, to release hope to the forgotten, to release hope to the marginalized, to release hope to those that others cannot reach, but God has called you to reach specifically. So Holy Spirit, I just pray you'd rest on Darren right now and that you'd bring to birth everything that's in his heart. In Jesus' name, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father.